So when Krishna comes down on this material plane, this is what he gets up to. Lord Krishna is the beloved son of Mother Yashoda, the transcendental lover in the land of Raja, the delight of Gokul, Karna, a nickname of Krishna, the wealth of the lives of the gopis. He steals the mind of even Cupid and punishes the Kaliya serpent. These pure holy names of Lord Hari are the full of sweet nectarine pastimes. Krishna is the Lord of the 12th forest of Raja. He is ever youthful and is the best of lovers. He is always playing on a flute and he is an excellent dresser. Krishna is the protector of the inhabitants of Raja, the destroyer of various demoniac dynasties, the keeper and the tender of Nanda Maharaj's cows, the giver of pleasure to the cows, land and spiritual senses, the husband of the goddess of fortune, the butter thief, the beautiful coward boy of Nanda Maharaj. Krishna wanders along the banks of River Jamuna. He stole the garments of the young damsels of Braja who were bathing there. He delights in the mellows of the rasa dance. He is very merciful, the lover and the beloved of Srimati Radharani, the great dancer of Vrindavan and the shelter and the only refuge of Thakur Bhaktivinod. Hare Krishna. So as we were saying, we're continuing with the theme of Janmashtami. And today we have chosen the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 81. And today we'll study text 6 and 7. So just before I read the translation, I'll just put a little bit of the setting. Maybe some of us are coming in the dark what this particular chapter is. So this is the story of Sudama Brahmin. Everyone knows the story. Is this on? Oh, yeah, okay. Everyone knows the story of Sudama Brahmin. It's a wonderful pastime. This is this particular situation where Sudama is talking with his wife. And this is what we're going to be discussing here today. So the translation is, being the direct witness in the hearts of all the living beings, Lord Krishna fully understood why Sudama had come to see him. Thus he thought, in the past, my friend has never worshipped me out of desire for material opulence, but now he comes to me to satisfy his chaste and devoted wife. I will give him riches even the immortal demigods cannot obtain. Purport. So this purport is by some of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comments that the Lord momentarily wondered, how has it come about, despite my omniscience, that this devotee of mine has fallen into such poverty? Then quickly understanding the situation, he spoke to himself the words related in this verse. But someone may point out that Sudama should not have been so poverty-stricken. Since appropriate enjoyment comes as a byproduct of service to God, even for a devotee who has no ulterior motives. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 22. Apart from Sutapa, anyone knows this verse? Chapter 9, text 22. It's a famous one. Anyas chintayatmam ye jnana parya pasate tesam nitya biya yuktanam yoga shinam viham aham. By those who are always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. In response to this point, a distinction must be made between two kinds of renounced devotees. One kind is inimical to the sense gratification and the other is indifferent to it. The Supreme Lord does not force sense gratification upon the devotees who is extremely averse to worldly enjoyments. This is seen among such great renunciers as Jad Bharat. On the other hand, the Lord may give limitless wealth and power to a devotee who is neither repelled nor attracted by material things, such as Prahlad Maharaj. Up to this point in his life, Sudama Brahmin was totally averse to sense gratification, but now, out of compassion for his faithful wife, and also because he hankered to have Krishna's audience, he went to beg from the Lord. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasyachade Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So seeking the blessings of all the wonderful devotees here, I see some exalted Vaishnavas here, Sutapa, Srinivas, Daibaladev, all the Matajis here. I don't feel I have any realizations. I do have a mouth though, I'm sure you know. So somehow or another, this mouth gets me on this seat here. So please excuse my kind of shallow realization and ask for your permission to say some things. Vancha kalpa tribhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patito nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So today's subject that we are discussing is friendship. Friendship is Sakyam. So, Sakyam is one of the relationships that is there in relation to Krishna. There are five relationships that a devotee has. So, the first one is Shanta. So, what does Shanta mean? Neutral. And then after Shanta, so that's the beginning stage of the relationship Krishna. So we have Shanta, then after Shanta, what do we have, ladies? Dasya. So then after this, we elevate ourselves a little bit more. Then we come on a servitorship of the Lord, which is Dasya. Then after that, which is Sakya, which we are going to be looking into today, which is a friendship to the Lord, and then that again is also a little bit more elevated than Dasya. Then after Sakya comes Vatsalya, which is a superior personality in relation to Krishna, like an uncle, like a parent, someone in that kind of category. So that's Vatsalya, a parenthood type. A guardian type. And then we have the final, which is Madhurya, which is the highest, and that is conjugal. So different devotees have different kinds of relationship with the Lord. So, Prabhus, you can give me any example in Shanta, who is in this relationship with Krishna? Yep. The four Kumaras. Anyone else? Lord Brahma, in one sense, yeah. Then what about then the next Dasya? Hanuman, servant. Sorry? Daruka, servant, yes. Lakshman, servant, yes. Lakshmi Devi, servant, yes. Then after that, then we go to Sakyam, friendship. Arjuna. So Uddhava is considered a very, very close friend of Krishna. Sudama, and today we'll be talking about Sudama. And Yes, Madhu Mangal, Krishna's coward boys. Krishna always has such wonderful pastimes with the coward boys. And then we have the next, which is Vatsalya. Who's on the Vatsalya? Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Devaki, Vasudev. Sorry? I can't hear. Yeah, so that's Vasudev and Devaki in the previous life. Not this Sutapa, obviously. But you never know. And then we have the ultimate, which is the highest, which is Madhurya. And we know Srimati Radha Rani being the topmost. Then we got Vishakha, Lalita, Champaklata, possibly some of the ladies here, who knows. So, Sakyam is an interesting relationship with Krishna. So when you're in the first two relationships with Krishna, there's a certain awe and reverence when you're dealing with the Lord in this particular relationship. So when you're a servant, then it's like a master. The servant is always making sure the master is happy, making sure there's that kind of distance, social distance is there. So he doesn't step out of line or anything like that. Otherwise he gets chastised. So this is the Dasya. But then in Sakya, all of that is thrown out of the window. Because friendship is more intimate relationship with someone. Even in our day-to-day life, if you think about it, the relationship you have with your boss is not the same relationship you would have with the people you hang out with, play cricket, or go and watch footy or someone, isn't it? It's a complete different relationship. So the friendship is much more intimate. It's much more friendly. It's much more where a situation is you can talk to someone and reveal your mind. So this particular personality, Sudama Brahmin or Sudama Vipra, is a friend of Krishna. So where did he become a friend of Krishna? Where did Sudama meet Krishna? Vraj. This is the wrong Sudama we're talking about here. Prabhupada, we're talking about the past time. Abai. That's right, in the Gurukul, Shanti was Avanti, yeah, and the Guru was Sandipani. So after Krishna and Balaram had killed Kansa, then they were sent off to the Gurukul, and Sandipani Muni was the teacher over there, and then the students, of course, this was a Dasya relationship, in a sense, with the spiritual master and disciple. We are the servants. So then, Sandipani Muni was teaching Krishna, Balaram, and Sudama was a close friend. And then, the pastime goes, one day, Sandipani's wife asked the boys to please go in the forest and collect wood for the fire sacrifice. So traditionally, the students, they would go to the forest, collect some wood for the fire yajna the spiritual master would conduct. So they went out in the forest, and they were looking for some twigs, some branches. So sometimes when you're a kid, when you're looking for something, what happens? You lose direction. No Google Maps in those days. And then when you're finding a twig, look, there's one over here, look, there's one over here, and you always think the better twigs, the better wood is a little bit further away. Then you're looking for it, then you're looking for it, and you go deeper and deeper and deeper in the woods. I remember one time when we were climbing Mount Snowdon. Is it Snowdon? The one in Wales? And then we looked at the mountain on the top, and there's a big, thick cloud covering the whole mountain. And we were at the base, and this guy came from down the mountain. And then we asked him, is it safe to go up there? What do you think he said? No, it's not safe. It's such thick clouds. He said, if you stretch your arms, you can't even see your watch. So then we're having a discussion. Should we go up there? Should we go up there? And of course, what do you think? So we did actually end up going up there, you know. So we were told not to go by the experts, but you know me, break of rules. So we went up there, and of course, we got lost in there. There's a kind of a footpath that you're supposed to stick by, but we couldn't find the footpath. The fog was so thick, we couldn't find our way. And then we tried to get our phone. We couldn't get a signal. And I must admit, at that point, I was shaking a little bit. And I was thinking, oh boy, we're stuck over here. Then different stories came of people getting stuck in this situation. And we thought, we're going to be embarrassed. A helicopter's going to come and take us away. So sometimes you get lost in the woods. So these boys, they got lost in the woods. But the situation got even worse. So you're lost in the woods. You don't know where you're going. You see it's getting dark. What happened after that, Srinivas? No, just before that, I know you're getting into the nectar. We just go rewind a little bit. A big thunderstorm happened. So there was a huge, big thunderstorm. I mean, not talking about a British thunderstorm. We're talking of an Indian. Anyone been to a thunderstorm in India? Super, super. And when the thunder claps there, it sends shivers. Whoa, what was that? And not just one. Here you get one, and occasionally you get two. There, they just keep on coming, and you can see them in the sky. Big, and if you're just a young boy, 8, 9 years old, it's getting dark. Big gale winds, big thunderclap. Then everyone is very, very scared. So then the boys were all scared. Then they thought to take some shelter because in the background, what could they hear? Ow, ow, ow! There were some jackals. They were in the forest. There were wild animals. Jayaprakash Maharaj was saying that when he first went to Mayapur, he saw some tigers there. There were some wild animals roaming around in Mayapur in the early days because it was just a paddy field over there, hardly anything there. Even when Bhaktisiddhanta, when he used to meditate, when he did his tapa there, many of the devotees would say, don't chant your rounds over here because there's wild animals. So there were wild animals everywhere. So when there's wild animals, then what do you take shelter of? Krishna, yeah, that's a good, yeah. Tree, that's right. The tree is a shelter. So then you climb the tree. Hopefully you can stay away from the animals. So then they were there, Sudama was there, Krishna was there, and wind was there. They didn't have any proper clothes or anything there, so they were shivering. They missed dinner, so they were hungry. And then as they were there, then the pangs of hunger started to be felt by the boys, isn't it? If prasadam is a little bit late, if prasadam is, Sutapa announces, today prasadam is cancelled, how many of you are going to be happy? No one. So hunger is such a powerful craving that when that comes about, it's very, very difficult to control your mind. Isn't it? As soon as the maha comes, woo! So the boys were feeling a little hungry. And Sudama, he had a little bit of either chickpeas or puff rice, whatever you want to say. But sometimes it comes that when your hunger is so strong, what don't you want to do with what you have? share. So generally sharing is caring what you have. If you've got a rasgulla, you can split it with Cyrus. He'll be very happy. But if you just eat it on your own, it'll only satisfy you. So Sudama had a little bit of morsel to eat, and then he was eating it, and he didn't share with Krishna.
Ooh.
So then the next day, there was actually even all night, there was a search party looking for Krishna and Balaram and the boys. Then in the distance, as the morning came, the birds could be heard, the sun rose, the Sandipani Muni and all the others, they came, and then they met up with the boys. Sandipani Muni gave them a blessing. And then after that, everyone went their way. Krishna went to Dwarka, Sudama. Do you know where he went? Anyone knows where he lived? Porbandar. I've been there. Anyone been there? You've been there, Sutapa? You've been there? You're from there, aren't you, Porbandar? No? So Porbandar is a very, very... You've been there? Oh, so Porbandar is the place where Sudama Brahmin, he kind of lived there. And Sudama Brahmin was, as explained in this particular verse, he was very, very poor. He didn't have very much. In fact, it said that all his clothes were torn. And he said that he was so skinny that you could see his ribs. He was so skinny, you could see his ribs. He had hardly any food. No chance for me, is there? So there wasn't enough to eat. There wasn't enough to go around. So they were very, very poor. So then Sudama's wife knew that Sudama was the friend of Krishna. And of course, Krishna was living in Dwarka, such an opulent place. And she knew about this. She said to Sudama, why don't you go to Dwarka? Krishna is your friend. Ask him for some help. So generally, if a friend is very, very rich, supposing Ian wins a lottery, 10 million, and the first thing he's going to do, hey, Jai Krishna, is a million for you. I hope. So then if you're rich, then you're happy to share with your friends. You're happy to give it to your friends. And sometimes people you don't know, your friends, they also come to you. So then Sudama's wife said, please go. Then Sudama said, no, I don't want to ask anything from Krishna. Because his devotion was that he just wanted to serve Krishna. He didn't want anything in return. Generally, when we serve Krishna, it has to be unalloyed, pure devotional service. We shouldn't want anything in return. That is the meaning of love. The moment we serve Krishna and we want something in return, then it becomes a business arrangement. We don't want this kind of relationship with Krishna. We want unalloyed, pure devotional service. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, whether you like me or you don't like me, I will still serve you. So this was the mood of Sudama Brahmin. He didn't want anything from Krishna. But as we know, wives can be a little persistent. They won't take no for answer. So then she kept on asking, and Sudama was saying no, day after day, no, no. Then finally, she decided to come at a different angle. She said, all right, don't go and ask for anything. But, Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki, you haven't seen your friend Krishna in such a long time. Why don't you go and see him? Isn't it sometimes when you study at a uni, when you're at school, then what do they have? These reunions. After 10 years, after 20 years, people come together and they reminisce about this and that and the next thing. So Sudama's wife said, even if you don't want anything, at least go and see him. He's your friend and he'll be happy to see you. So then at that point he was convinced. So here we can understand one of the reasons why Sudama was poor was because, as we explained, that when he had that morsel of food to eat, he did not share. And as a direct result of that, he had to go through this situation. But luckily, Sudama Brahmin, as he says in the purport, he was averse to sense gratification. So that's quite a tall order as well, to be averse to sense gratification. Generally, we all want sense of gratification, to please our senses, to eat nice food, to have a nice, comfortable situation. But Sudama, he was averse to it. So he didn't mind being in that situation. He was happy. He just embraced it. Then he went to Dwarka. When he entered Dwarka, he had never seen anything quite like this. There was nice parks. There was music being played in the bandstand. Everyone was dressed very, very nicely. The ladies had all nice saris, colorful saris. Everyone was plump. Plenty of prasadam in Dwarka. No one goes hungry in Dwarka. And he stood out a little bit because he was so thin. And everyone was looking at him because no one was poor. Even the Brahmins were well fed. Krishna's daily duty that he would feed the Brahmins. But because he was a Brahmin, he had one of these hanging over his shoulders, 10 paisa in Lloyd Bazaar. No one bothered him. Then he was wandering and then he saw one beautiful palace. Then he wandered there. No one stopped him because he was a Brahmin. And then in the corner of his eyes, as he wandered, sometimes when you see a building, you just wander around, looking around. The other day, I just saw some guests. They were just wandering. They were Western guests. They were just coming. And then I said to them, you're not meant to be in this area. And they said, oh, we've never seen such a beautiful place. So we wanted to wander around and look. I said, oh, please forgive me. At this point, we have a little restriction. Please come again another time. So they were wandering around, looking around. So then Sudama started wandering, looking around. Then he saw Krishna at the corner of his eyes. Then Krishna was seated on his bedstead, silken bed sheets. Rukmini was there fanning Krishna. They were just having some mellow conversation. Then Krishna caught sight of Sudama. And that's all it took. Krishna to catch sight of Sudama. And Krishna jumped off that bed and he leapt in there and he ran towards Sudama. And not caring what Sudama looked like, not caring in any way, he quickly just embraced Sudama. And Sudama felt so embarrassed that here was the Lord. He didn't feel he was clean. He was been walking. He hadn't been bathed for a few days. Then Krishna said, no, when there's friendship, this etiquette are gone out the window. As I was explaining, it's an intimate relationship. It doesn't matter. And then there were tears coming out from Krishna's eyes because Krishna was so happy to see Sudama. And he asked Sudama to come. And he put Sudama on his own personal bed. And then asked Rukmini to please bring the paraphernalia to worship. And here is Krishna. He is glorified by the Brahmins, by the sages. Everyone worships Krishna's lotus feet. But here he was washing the feet of Sudama. So Krishna is setting the example that we have to show proper respects to the Brahmins, to the Vaishnavas. Whenever Prabhupada would come, the first thing they would do, once Prabhupada would sit, and then there would be the foot bathing ceremony. Maybe you might have seen in the videos the honey coming down, the yogurt coming down, and then when that bowl would come out, and everyone would be after it. And this, that, I don't know if you heard that pastime of Indradumna Maharaj. Have you heard that pastime? And then he had that bowl, the water that washed the divine feet of Srila Prabhupada. And while the Guru Puja was kicking in, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, him and his friends snuck out with this nectar. And they went in a different room. And then they had two cups. And there was banging going on. Da, 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 da. Let us have some. And they thought, ooh, yeah, this is divine nectar. And they just knocked it back. So in this way, Krishna, he worshipped Sudama Brahmin. And not just washed his feet. He offered aarti as Paramakaruna is offering to Krishna. The tradition is we offer aarti to Krishna. 6 days, six times a day, we offer aarti to Krishna. But here, imagine if Krishna jumped off the altar and started offering aarti to Paramakaruna. What a sight to see, huh? But that's what Krishna did in essence. He just jumped off his bed, his altar. He saw this wonderful, pure-hearted Brahmin. And he offered aarti to him. And then the maid servants, they could not believe this. Who is this person? Why is Krishna and Rukmini worshipping? He just didn't look in appearance anybody special. Then they came to a conclusion that this must be a very, very close, intimate friend of Krishna. Then, as they kind of finished the normalities, they fed Sudama. Then they started talking, then reminiscent. And then, normally when you go and see someone, at least there's a kind of unspoken kind of thing that if you're invited, if you go to someone's house, what do you normally do? Bring a gift, isn't it? That's kind of the tradition. So Rupa Goswami says, exchange of gifts. You take someone, and then you take him a bottle of slur or something like that, you know. So, Krishna asked, my dear friend, you've come over here. Have you brought me some gift from me? And Sudama was so embarrassed. Just looking at the opulence, the food he was fed. I mean, you think the paneer here is tasty. The paneer in Krishna's palace is so nice, it dances on your tongue. And he felt so embarrassed. How can I give Krishna this little chip rice? In fact, this chip rice, what was something about this chip rice? Sorry? It was stale. Yeah, he was carrying it in his little pouch. It was not fit for humans. And even that, they didn't even have that in their own house. Sudama had to go and ask the neighbors for it. So Krishna, you know, he likes to have a little bit of fun, isn't it? When you're in that friendship, you can have a little bit of fun. So then when Krishna asked for the little gift, Sudama started walking away. Then Krishna, from the corner of the eye, saw the pouch, grabbed the pouch. And he took that pouch, and he took one morsel. And Krishna became so satisfied, he was so happy. In fact, he was so happy, he decided to go for a second helping. Imagine if someone gives you some stale rice to eat. Would you go for a second helping? No, thank you. But for Krishna, he was filled with so much love, so much devotion. It did not matter what he tasted. He was saturated in bhakti. And that's what Krishna was tasting. Not the rice, not the food, but the bhakti that was there in that presentation. But as Krishna was about to have the second morsel, he was relishing it. Rukmini went, ee, ee. No. That's enough. Just by eating that one morsel, you have benedicted this Brahmin that he will be more than adequately looked after. Then in the morning afterwards, Sudama Brahmin, he went home. He felt happy. Why did Sudama Brahmin feel happy? Of course, he saw Krishna. What was one of the other reasons he felt happy? Venu? Why was he like, you know, on cloud nine? Satisfied, yeah? Prash, why do you think? He was happy to see Krishna. Obviously, he was happy to have this wonderful prasadam. But why was he really happy while he was going and meditating on Krishna? Yes? That's the one. He didn't ask anything from Krishna. Even though that was the underlying nature of his wife, he didn't ask for anything and he felt happy. You know, when you go to a rich person, oh, come on, you know, that vase is there worth 100,000. I'll just take it, you won't miss it. But Sudama felt so good that he didn't ask for anything. And that's the way our devotion should be, that we don't want anything. But then when he arrived in Porbandar, what happened? Excuse me? He couldn't recognize the place. The streets were changed. The people in that particular village all were very, very opulent. He said, this is where I live, but I don't recognize anything. Then he saw this beautiful lady coming towards him. He says, who's this lady coming towards you? He recognized his wife. And then he realized, actually, this was all because of the blessings of Krishna. So Krishna might not give you what you want the moment you want it. He'll wait until you're ready to give it to you. So sometimes devotees sometimes think, why is it when I'm a devotee, I'm so poor? Devotees are always struggling with finance. Why is it that I don't have this, I don't have that? If Krishna says, I will give you everything, if Krishna says, I will protect you, so why doesn't Krishna give it? Because we're not ready for it. Because the moment we might get it, it might slip away on the back door. And it happened. I mean, there was one person over here. The astrology told him that he's going to become very, very rich. Then he thought, I'm not going to become rich staying in the Hare Krishnas. So he left to think that he was going to find this rich fortune. So Krishna doesn't give it to us until we are ready. So we just patiently have to just perform our service. Anyway, there was so much more I want to talk about. Just a few moments, I hope you don't mind. So this Sakya relationship we just touched, the main relationship Krishna has in Vrindavan is with the coward boys there. He has many relationships. So he has many coward boys. Throw me a few coward boys. Arjuna, Madhumangal, Shridam, Subala, Stoka Krishna. That's right. And who is the one? Who is the one who is the best, closest friend? You know, amongst your own friends, isn't it? You always have the best friend. On the wedding, you have your best mate, isn't it? We always have, the top of our kind of contact list, you know. There is Radha Mohan, number one on my kind of, contact list, you know. The best friend. So who is your best friend? So who is Krishna's best friend? Balaram? Shridam? That's right. Shridam is best friend of Krishna. So I'll just give me a few moments. So Krishna's day is divided into different sections. So when Krishna wakes up, the first part is called Purvaha Leela. That happens at 8:36 in the morning. 8:36 in the morning. It's very, very precise. 36. I think ISKCON will have a really hard time with that kind of timing. So, but 8:36 is the time Krishna blows his horn. And that when the other coward boys, Shridam, Sudam, hear this, then they start blowing their horn. Krishna's finished his breakfast. Mother Yashoda's packed a wonderful lunch pack for him. It's ready to go for a day out in adventure with Krishna. And everyone was so excited. Then Krishna gathers in front of his house and all the boys start coming. And then Krishna is prepared. And then Mother Yashoda is shouting, "Don't forget your lunch pack." Nanda Maharaj is shouting, "Stay close to Balaram. Don't go anywhere else. Make sure you're in eye contact with Balaram." And he says to Balaram, "Keep an eye on your little brother. He's a very, very naughty boy. So look after him. I'm holding you responsible." Then this is the first part of the Leela, leaving the forest. And you've seen all the picture. There's a big trail of coward boys, all with the, what's those things called again? Plows, no, the things that they, crutch or whatever. Them carrying that. Then they have a little stick to herd the calves. So then they're all running around. Then on the side, who's on the side watching? The gopis. So the gopis are thinking, these boys are so lucky that they get to be with Krishna all day long. And particularly Shridam, Radharani is a little bit envious of Shridam. Why is Radharani envious of Shridam? Dai Baladev? Sorry? Radharani's brother? But there's another reason why is all day. But then also the gopis can be with Krishna all night long as well. So, but why is Radharani envious? Personal service? Because Shridam can embrace Krishna in front of the superiors, in front of Mother Yashoda, in front of Mother, instead of Nanda Maharaj. Radharani can't do that. So she thinks, oh, this boy, he gets to embrace Krishna, give him a hug, woo, woo, woo. I can't do that. I have to wait in the dead of the night to do that. So then they're going. So how many forests are there in Vrindavan? 12 forests. So they get to choose. Then at 10:48, they enter the next section, which is Madhya Leela. So this is where they generally have what kicks off at this point. Sorry? Games, wrestling, pushing each other in the Jamuna, and then Shridam goes, "Krishna, you think you're a tough guy, don't you? Look at your arms, you're so skinny. You think just because you killed that demon, you think you're so strong. Come on, I can take you on." So then they start to have a wrestling match and have fun like that. Then there's a demon to be killed. Normally that happens in the morning. Time is limited. I don't have a lot of time. So then at that time, after killing the demon, then what happens after you've... Lunch! Oh! Krishna packs the most amazing packed lunch for Krishna. And it's so amazing what happens to Krishna's packed lunch. It gets stolen. And the person who eyes it all the time is Madhu Mangal, because he knows that Yashoda cooks the best burfi. You know, have you tasted that triple sweet the acharyas cooked? Who's had that? Anyone said that? That's like a knockout sweet, isn't it? If you haven't had that sweet, get it off the breakfast plate. It'll send you to cloud nine. And these are some of the wonderful sweets that Krishna had in his lunch pack. And they would steal each other's lunch pack. They would share each other's lunch pack. Then after, a nice prasadam. What's after that? A little LSD. Left side down. And Krishna's lying down there. Balaram is massaging Krishna's feet. And sometimes when you fall asleep, what do you do? Snore. What else do you do sometimes? Dream. I know I do it. You have your mouth wide open. So Krishna's falling asleep, massaged by Balaram. He's got his mouth wide open. And then the boys pick up a flower and start to put it in his mouth. So in this way, the boy is having such a nice friendship. Then after you get up, it's a hot sunny day. Then what do you do after that? Come on. Yes, you make a beeline for River Jamuna. And you splash, you climb the trees, make a rope and you swing in there. That's one of the most funnest thing to do. Is you get this rope and you swing on it and you just dunk yourself in the river. So that was taking place between 10:48 and 3:60. Then at 3:36, after all that has happened, then what would happen? Prabhu? Ooh, this guy's on it. He's on it. That's right. So what happens, interestingly enough, is that Krishna says, hey, the cows are wandering off. Subal, go and find them. And then the boys are looking for the cows. And Krishna does a sneaky one. Woo! He disappears. And then he meets the gopis there. And then in the afternoon, so most people think that Krishna meets in the evening, but he's a sneaky fellow. He disappears. Then the boys are looking for the calves. And the calves are all roaming around. And then while Krishna's there with the gopis in the late afternoon, then afterwards he comes back. Did you find the cows? He says, yeah, they're over here. Then at 6:38, Snayana, then what point is that? 6:36. Coming home. After a hard day's fun, then you come home, isn't it? And you see everyone in the car falling asleep after, you know, a long day on Sankirtan, on Harinam, you know. So everyone comes home, everyone is tired, and who's there to greet them? Mother Yashoda! So then Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, then they greet Krishna and Balaram, and then after Krishna and Balaram is looked after, washed, bathed, fed, then is the night time. The pradosha, the bedroom, Krishna is there, tucked away. I think we talked about this. He goes to sleep, but what happens? Huh? He sneaks out, yeah. So this is the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. And then in conclusion, I just wanted to read one thing. So this is the relationship of Sakya. I'm not presuming anything, but check this out. Tamara milana baya abase sukapai gocharana garatina bora kata bana chuta chuta bane kaya luta puta se dina kabe habe mor. You can see my Bengal is terrible. So this is prayers that Srila Prabhupada, he wrote on the Bort Jaladuta, September 13th, 1965. Prayers to Lord Krishna. And the eighth verse, which I just said, this is the translation. And try and see what conjures up in your mind. Oh dear friend, in your company, I will experience great joy once again. In the early morning, I will wander about the coward pastures and fields, running and frolicking in the many forests of Raja. I will roll on the ground in spiritual ecstasy. Oh, when will that day be mine? So it's a little bit of an interesting revelation that Prabhupada gives in connection possibly to his relationship with Krishna, We just talked about what Krishna gets up to. And if you compare this verse, then it seems that Prabhupada is missing that intimate moment, being with Krishna, rolling around. Story goes that Prabhupada relates to Bhavananda, that when Prabhupada was in the spiritual world playing with Krishna, Krishna said, oh, can you go in the material world and save the living souls over there? They're all suffering. And Prabhupada said, I don't want to go to the material world. When I've got this, do I want to go down there? No ways. Then Prabhupada was asked, please go. And then Prabhupada said to Krishna, I don't like suffering. I don't like this. Then Krishna said, don't worry. I will give you palaces. Wherever you go, you'll have nice places to stay. So when Prabhupada came, he established all these 108 temples, and wherever he went, he had some very, very nice places to stay, because this was arranged by Krishna. You go upstairs, Mataji is looking carefully after Srila Prabhupada's rooms. Such a nice place. And people, when they come here, guests, they feel the spiritual presence over there. So we don't know what our relationship with Krishna is. We don't know what our Siddha Pranali is. We don't know. But if we just perform our service, then one day, then it will be revealed to us. And in one of these five relationships, we will be able to serve Krishna. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna, for your time. Are there any questions, queries, comments? I've gone slightly over time. Prabhuji?
Thank you for the class. Very nice class, Prabhu. You're talking about Krishna and Balaram going to Avantipur for 64 days. I was just wondering, like, was that quite a unique thing that they went Gurukul number one so, like, later, when there were, it must have been 11, 12 or something like that. And first thing, and second thing is such a short time as well. Like, because we don't hear, well, I've not heard any other situation like that of going Gurukul later at that age and for so short.
So it's a good point. Normally Gurukul starts at the age of 5. That's when you sent off. But we have to see Krishna's unique situation, because he was in Vrindavan. And it wasn't until later on that he came to Mathura. He released his parents, put Ugrasena on the throne. And after that, then they said, okay, because he didn't go to school. He was just, as we saw, just in Vrindavan. And then Vasudeva and Devika, who were more of by the book type of parents, said, okay, it's time to go to school. Now you go to Avanti and you start and get an education. And the reason why he didn't spend any time was because Krishna had a Sutita memory. Anything the teacher said, he remembered. Anything I try and read, it goes straight out of my head. So normally what takes maybe so many years to master, Krishna mastered it straight away. So he didn't have to spend time. There's no point in staying there when he knows everything. So that's why he didn't stay very long. He just learned everything, bada boom, bada boom, bada boom. Prabhu?
Thank you, Prabhu. So in that scenario, just extending that a little bit more, I mean, obviously Vasudev and Devaki, in the absence of Krishna and Balaram, because they spend lots of time in Vrindavan, obviously saw that being very selfless, in the sense that they didn't have the time that they could have spent with Krishna and Balaram, but yet they were so concerned about their children that they wanted to send them out to education, away from their love and relationship. So what of that shows of Devaki and Vasudeva's character, in the sense that even though they would have wanted Krishna and Balaram with them all over the time, they would have seen the future of the kids, the children?
So it's a very interesting pastime. I won't take too much of your time. So Vasudeva and Devaki did lament that they missed out on Krishna's youth, Krishna's boyhood. So when they were living in Dwarka, Devaki said, we didn't get a chance to have this wonderful pastime. Then fully grown Krishna, within their eyes, he turned himself into a young boy. And then Mother Devaki was so overwhelmed with affection to see Krishna. She had never seen Krishna in this youthful, with nice chubby cheeks, you know. And then milk started coming from her breast. She fed Krishna. And she was so happy. Then that bit she missed was immediately fulfilled. And at that same moment, Rukmini walked in. And she's never seen Krishna like this before. Wow, Krishna, my husband, is fully grown. He's like a little baby, little boy now. I love him. He's so adorable. And says, oh, Krishna, I want this form. Please keep this form. And then Krishna said, oh, for you, wifey, I'll do whatever you say. Otherwise, you know, you have to do what the wifey says. Then Krishna said, okay. Then Krishna manifested himself as a little boy in a deity. And Rukmini worshipped that in her bedroom. And of course, the famous story goes, Sutapa, what happens with that deity? You know it. Come on, give it to us. Babuji, come on, take over. The famous story is the Dwarka gets inundated by sea after Krishna's departure. Then the deity is lost there. One day, the great Madhavacharya from the Sampradaya we come was sitting on the shore of the sea. A ship was coming. There was a storm. And then he, with his scarf, hailed the ship into some safety. And then the ship was saved by Madhavacharya's maneuvers. And then the king had a lot of opulent things on board, was grateful that all this was saved. Then he said to the Madhavacharya, thank you for saving my ship. I have so many wonderful things here. Would you like anything? He said, oh, I don't want anything. I'm a mendicant. And they insisted, you know, when someone does something for you, so please let me repay you in some way. He goes, I'll have that tilak. And then tilak, is that all you want? Then he said, okay, you can have the tilak. And then the men, they tried to lift the tilak. They couldn't lift it. They tried to lift it. They couldn't. The Madhavacharya lifted the tilak. He put it on the side and the tilak opened. And when the tilak opened, there was two beautiful deities, Krishna and Balaram. And this Krishna was the same deity that Rukmini had worshipped 5,000 years ago, the one that he turned in that deity for Rukmini. Madhavacharya was very, very surprised. As we've been reading, Madhavendra Puri and Rupa Goswami, they found these deities. Then a festival was arranged, Udupi Krishna. And then you can go to this day and see this beautiful deity. Then he lifted Krishna, put Krishna on the cart. Then he tried to lift Balaram. Ooh, Balaram is heavy, you know his strength. He couldn't lift Balaram. So Balaram decided, I want to stay by the sea. Then they built a nice temple by the coast. So on the coast, you can see Balaram. 15 kilometers in, you can see Krishna, Udupi Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Sudama Vipra ki.